we're there?
All right.
One quick announcement I wanted to make concerning Anthony Hall, and I know we've been prepare food, or but anyway, it says maybe, or I'm sorry, if Aunt, I'll get it right. I can read your writing, brother. I can. April Fogelman is willing to meet downstairs with those who are interested in preparing food for Anthony Hall. I know some had mentioned this. Ozzy had mentioned this last week at the Triple E group as far as what type of meals, since he's going to be on a special diet. So if you would like to meet downstairs to help prepare meals, April Fogelman will be down there and telling you what type of food that he's going to be able to eat. And if you can help out with that, we'd certainly greatly appreciate that. I want you to finish this sentence for me. I am God's... You see, what you put in that blank says a great deal about your relationship to the Lord. I can think of three specific words, and these are good Bible words. As a matter of fact, they're all over the Bible in relation to what our relationship should be to God. And we're going to talk about those three words this morning. And we're going to look at the idea of becoming God's friend through these three words. Those three words are servant, steward, and son. You see, each of these words really kind of manifest themselves in a way that we should all be when we are Christians. That is, each one of these words at one point in our life as Christians says something about who we are. Yet, many times what I believe is that we fully don't understand the development that we're supposed to go through as we go from servant to steward to son. The important thing for us to understand is that at one point in our life we're always going to be a servant of God. That is, what we choose to do for God in service to Him each day. At another point in our life, we're going to be stewards for God. That is, what responsibility that God has given us in our service to Him and what I'm going to produce for the kingdom of God. And then finally, how we develop into becoming sons of God. 1 John 3:1 says, "What greater love that God hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons," or as some versions say, "the children of God." With the idea of what it means to dwell in the house of God, we must be sons to inherit that which God has given us. When you think about what John writes in John 8 and verse 35, he says, "The servant shall not abide in the house forever, but the son shall abide forever." So when we think about these words this morning and what it truly means to be a friend of God, I want us to understand that at one point in our lives, we're going to be all three of these, but it's the growth in which we develop in each stage of our lives as Christians that determines if we are going to be the son that inherits the promise. I'm sure that all of us could count on one hand our true friends, can we not? This doesn't include Facebook. Your 700 friends does not count on Facebook. I'm talking true relationships with friends. Those that you talk to on a daily basis, perhaps that you've been friends for years. I can probably count on just two or three fingers, other than my wife, of course, of friends of mine that are gospel preachers that I probably text or talk to or email two or three times a week. I can count on them. They're truly friends. But in relation to what it means to be a friend of God, that's completely different. Because the friendships that we have with those in this world are completely different from the friendship that we develop with God, because it's something that God allows us to be. When we think about what Jesus says in John 15 and verse 13. What greater love God hath bestowed upon, concerning that death of His Son, that greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down His life for a friend. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And then the verse we all know very well concerning John 14, 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So our relationship, that friendship relationship that we have with God, is based upon the love that He has for us, on what He did for us at Calvary. But here's the thing to truly remember. In being called a friend of God, there's only one other man in the Bible that's referred to as a friend of God, and that was Abraham. Now think about that awesome responsibility. I'm in the same ball field as Abraham. He was called a true friend of God, and God says, if you love me, if you keep my commandments, Jesus was willing to lay down his life for a friend. That's me, based upon all three of those words and what it truly means to become a friend of God. So if I'm going to be a servant, a steward, and a son, how do I grow in all three of those? Because in reference to what we become concerning our sonship is based upon the progress that we make to get there. So as we look at each three of these this morning, I want you to ask yourself, what stage of your relationship with God are you currently in? Because we need to embrace the lessons of each of these, because each of these adds to our faith. You think about the Christian graces that Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. He says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love or charity. And he goes on to say, if you have all of these things, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all of these things have to encompass who I am. But if I'm not a son, if I'm not a steward, if I'm not a servant in truly growing in all of those aspects, then I don't know what it means to grow as a child of God. So when we think about the idea of what it means to be God's servant, the Bible's view of man is that of a servant. Because we serve the Master, right? Based upon what God has done for us, we serve the Master. God, though, has given us a choice in the matter of whom we're going to serve. Matthew 6:24. We either choose to serve the world or we choose to serve God. This image is played out over and over again in the Bible for us, but God has given us a choice concerning that service. We can give ourselves to be servants of sin or we can give ourselves to be servants of disobedience. Paul says you yield to whom you want to obey, Romans 6 and verse 19. So either I choose to yield my service as a servant to the ways of the world, or I choose to serve God. But here's the thing. For me to be a servant concerning my obedience, we as Christians have chosen the difficult way, have we not? It's not easy being a Christian. We talked about this some in Bible class. You look at Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. Broad is the gate and wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. So we've chosen something that's difficult. We've chosen a road of righteousness and obedience based upon our service to God because we want to do what God tells us to do. We make the choice to serve God then. One way is easy, one way is hard. I serve God because I love Him. But you see, my relationship with God cannot stop simply in service because I fear the outcome of what might happen if I don't do what God commands me to do. And here's where the difference lies. You see, when we understand the idea of what it means to be a servant in service, with that comes the development of my relationship on what God then requires of me as a steward. The concept of slavery is given to us throughout the Bible. And we have a great concept, rather, of what stewardship is in Genesis chapter 39. When you think about Joseph and the idea of what it says that he developed or that he increased the household of Potiphar. Why? He did it not based on the fact of loving Potiphar. He did it because he had to do it. He didn't do it because he wanted to. He did it because he had to. But when we think about the idea of stewardship and what God is asking of us, as servants who are growing into that, He's giving us more responsibility in His kingdom. How am I going to take that responsibility? The idea of stewardship in the Greek, the word simply means house manager. So I have to manage God's house, don't I? If I'm going to be a good steward of God, I've got to produce for the Lord. If I'm not producing for the Lord, I'm simply stuck in my relationship concerning of what it means to be a servant, and I'm only going to do what I'm told to do. I'm not going to volunteer for anything unless the elders ask me. I'm not going to read or do anything in class unless somebody asks me to do. So if you want me to serve the Lord, you better ask me because I'm not going to do it otherwise. But to be a steward of God means we've been given a responsibility in the church. That is, God wants us to grow, to increase in development, to grow closer to Him because I'm willing to manage His house and increase the kingdom of God. How do I do that? God obviously sees something in me, right? Because if I'm not producing, then what happens to me? We see this idea many times in relation to the stewardship in the Bible. You think about Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14, concerning the parable of the talents. The master has three servants of which he's going to divvy out the treasures to, or their talents. Two produce, one doesn't. You also think about the parable of the unjust steward in Luke chapter 16. Here you have a steward over a rich man's possessions. He squanders or wastes the rich man's possessions. So therefore, they did not take the responsibility seriously of that which God has given us, because if I want to grow from servant to steward, I've got to realize the great responsibility that God is placing in my hands as one of His children. I can't squander what God has given me. You see, being a good steward is not simply learning how to balance your checkbook. Being a good steward is not simply giving of your means on Sunday morning. Being a good steward is giving of your time and yourself concerning the responsibility that God has given you when you become a Christian. But you see, in relation to what it means to be a steward, the talents that God has given me in my responsibility to the church is based on the fact that God sees something in me. We think about when a young man becomes a Christian and we begin to give him responsibilities in the church, whether it's serving on the table or reading Scripture or perhaps every now and then preaching a sermon, whatever the case might be. It's because we as individuals, as parents, as leaders in the Lord's church, we see something in the man, in that young man, because we want them to grow. We want them to get closer in their relationship to God. But here's what we truly need to understand in our relationship of what it means to grow from son, or rather from servant to steward to son, is that's the ultimate goal for us, is sonship. And here's why. Here's where I develop in that. Beyond stewardship, sonship comes into view, and the divide between the two separates service and love. Let me put this in relation. When I was young and growing up, I was given chores to do. And I understood as I was younger, if I did not do the chores, then there was punishment that was going to come because of that. Whether it was a belt when I was younger or keys taken away when I got older. But I knew that if I didn't serve my parents in relation to what they asked me and told me to do, then there was going to be punishment for it. But as I became older, I was given more responsibility in the household. You see, I was allowed to stay home by myself because my parents trusted me. I was allowed to take their car out and I didn't have to stop at a payphone every 20 minutes and call them. We didn't have cell phones then. And as I got more responsibility, something began to change in the relationship between me and my parents. You see, when something then needed to be done around the house, I didn't have to be told to do it because I did it because not only did I respect my parents, but here's the key, brethren, I did it because I loved my parents. You see, when we become Christians, we understand service is necessary and required, but we don't truly understand the scope of that relationship concerning our love to God. How does that develop? It develops from me becoming the servant as I enter into the body of Christ, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And once responsibility is given to me, I'm then developing and becoming more responsible and doing what's required of me, but it's the sonship that I desire because that's where I dwell with the Father. Again, Romans 8, 35 says, the servant shall not abide in the house forever, but the son shall abide forever. So for me to truly become a friend of God, God wants us to know that we are His children. And that intimate family relationship, when we think about it, fills the pages of the New Testament. You see, I can't remain childish in my relationship when I'm growing towards God. I've got to remember the first principles of the oracles of God, Hebrews 5:12, because I have to continue to grow. But if I want to grow to become a friend of God, I've got to develop in those stages. Case in point. Again, when I was little, I remember I was probably 4 or 5, and my mother told me to do something, and I put my hands on my hips, and I said no. My mother's lips disappeared. She got that little wrinkle in her forehead. And the belt appeared in her hand. I said, I'm not your friend. My mother said this several times throughout my years as a child and a teenager. She said, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your parent. But you see, here's the difference now in that relationship is that my mother and I are friends. Because it was a relationship that was developed through time based upon how I showed I loved and respected my mother and father. When I grow as a Christian, I don't just become a friend of God. I become a friend of God based upon how I grow as a Christian. And I develop in that relationship because I do what God demands of me and asks of me because I love Him. And I do it because I loved Him because of the love that was expressed for me, Romans 5 and verse 8. How does that change us? Is not the job of the son very much like the servant? In many ways it is. In fact, the growth and maturation of the son very much mimics the progression in the relationship that we're talking about. You consider Paul's statement in Galatians chapter 4, 1 and 2. Paul says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all." So you have the inheritance, but if you're still a child, you haven't grown any, so nothing's different. "But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father." So as I'm growing as a child of God, as I'm developing in my relationship with Christ, as I'm maturing in Christ, as I'm growing in knowledge and adding to these things that 2 Peter talks about, I'm developing a closer relationship with God. Why do I develop in that relationship with God? Because I love Him. You see, there's nothing that I would not do for my parents now. They don't have to ask me to do anything. When I was a teenager, you probably had to ask me to take the trash out several times. But you see, now as our relationship has changed, as I've gotten older, I appreciate all the things I had to do to get to that point. Is that not the same way we develop as Christians? Because when we truly come to appreciate our salvation, we can look back and see how we've grown and gone through trials and difficulties and temptations, how our faith has been tried, that we can look back to the cross and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me develop into becoming a son who will dwell with you." As a son grows, the relationship changes. And you think about the greatest son of all knew this, and he lived by it. You think about what Jesus said in Luke 2:49. He said, "I must be in my Father's house." Notice the two words at the beginning of that verse. "I must." There was no second to any of that. Jesus also said, "I must be about my Father's business while it is day, because when it is dark, no man can work." I must be in my Father's house, because that's where I want to dwell. Because that's where the Son desires to be. Sonship is a high calling from God. Absolutely. It's a great responsibility from us, and in God's house, we know that we live as family members. There are a lot of Christians who live their lives as sons. Some still live their lives as slaves, and some have never grown out of what it truly means to be a steward who produces for the house of the Lord. A son with a good father is never worried that the judgment of his father, or that judgment is going to be taken away. A son never worries that his inheritance is ever going to be removed from him, because he knows, even if he's lost, like the prodigal in Luke 15, he can always come home. A good father always loves his son, and brethren, God is the Father. And God loves us. The question I want to ask you today is, how did you fill in the blank? Maybe you just simply said, "I am God's child." And that's certainly true, because we're all children of God. But maybe you filled it in with one of those three words of which you think you are at your stage in your development as a Christian. But my challenge to you today is to grow in that relationship as a child of God. If you're stuck in the idea of what it means to be a servant in the Lord's house, that is, you're stuck in your servitude because you simply fear the judgment, then you truly don't understand the love of God. You see, we want to serve God based upon what He's done for us. I serve Him because He first loved me, right? 1 John chapter 3. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God loves me, and it's evident based upon the evidence that He gave to me at Calvary. But even if he turns and denounces his Father, even if the Son says, I want nothing to do with the Father is always there. The Father never leaves us. The Father never abandons us. The question to ask yourself is not if I am a servant, a steward, or a son, but the question to ask yourself is, do I feel like a servant, a steward, or a son? How do you feel today? But more importantly, do you feel like a friend of God? Because if you do, then you truly understand your relationship with Him. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. Are you a friend of God? If not, my question always is why? What's causing you today to negate the responsibility that you have to respond because you are dead in your sins? Spiritually dead. Do you love God enough to keep His commandments today and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, the responsibility now lies on you. And I know that's not always an easy thing, because in that we have to give up everything that we used to know. Everything that I used to be. We talked about the old man in Bible class this morning. Today, put the old man to rest. Put on Christ in baptism today, first repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9-10. The Bible says confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. Today, I hope that you're ready to make that confession and to put on Christ in baptism, Acts 2:38. To grow in your relationship as a child of God, to be what you need to be, you first must put Him on in baptism. And if you're here today as a child of God who in your relationship is stunted somewhere in that process, ask yourself what's keeping you from progressing. You see, because many times as people get stuck in the attitude or the idea of a servant, they think just coming to church is serving Him. But you see, there's more to it. Take more responsibility in your faith. Step up to the high calling of what it means to be a Christian, as Paul writes in Philippians 3:13-14. And become a true friend of God by walking with Him, 1 John 1:7. If you need to do those things today, I encourage you. I plead with you and I beg you. And maybe you just need some encouragement. Because sometimes being a friend of God is not always an easy thing in the world in which we live today, is it? No. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. We want to help you bear those burdens because we're here for you. Because we love you. As together we stand and as we sing.